Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
You're sweet.
Yesterday, we started talking about seven negative habits that need to be eliminated from our lives. Before we finish the teaching, let's do a brief review.
Number one, stop rationalizing temper tantrums. Some folks will blame their genes, that's G-E-N-E-S. Sorry.
That's good.
Claiming their temper tantrums are hereditary. That excuse, you know, might have worked when they were two or three, but not as an adult. In Proverbs 14, verse 17, it says, "He that is soon angered dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." You know, a lack of discipline may have contributed to temper tantrums as a child, but as we grow older, we choose how to act and react.
That's good. Number two, male, M-A-L-E, pattern, P-A-T-T-E-R-N, baldness, B-A-L-D-N-E-S-S. Now, just so you know, as I pointed out yesterday, we're not referring to a lack of hair, but rather a head that is lacking in wisdom and empathy. You know, we always taught our children to think before they speak. Just because something pops in your head doesn't mean it should pop out of your mouth. You need to use that head with wisdom. What you speak, what you say, because there's life and death, as the scripture says, in the power of the tongue.
And amen to that. Number three, reaction reflexes create relational ruts. Many people also suffer from reaction reflex, which is not a medical condition like acid reflex, but rather a mental condition which causes people to react the same way in a certain situation, or at least most of every time. It's kind of like pushing a button, in other words, which causes us to judge people on how they've reacted in the past without making an allowance that they may have changed.
Number four, never assume anything. In order to eliminate negative thoughts about others, you need to always be, well, you need to always openly and calmly communicate to determine exactly what that person thinks, and that both of you are reading from the same sheet of music, so to speak. Lately, one of our favorite scriptures has become James 1:19. James 1:19 in the Classic Amplified. Now, we've quoted this a number of times recently, but there's power in this. Listen.
It says this, "Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry."
Now let's pick up where we left off. Number five, stop kicking the cat. Now, you're the only one who can determine the kind of day you're going to have, because you're the one who will make it positive or negative. You're also the one who chooses to allow other people, whether or not, to allow other people to affect your day. In other words, you decide whether you'll be kicking the cat or not. Now, this is one of my favorite stories, and I think carries a real point to it. Here it comes. Samuel wakes up late because he forgot to turn on the alarm clock. He grabs a cup of coffee on his way out of the house. He spills the coffee on his white shirt because someone made a sudden stop in front of him. Fearing that he'll be late for work, Samuel started driving 80 in the 65-mile-hour speed zone when he was pulled by a police officer and given a ticket. Samuel is really mad when he gets to work. When Sarah, the receptionist, wishes him a good morning, Samuel replies with kind of a scowl. "What's good about it?" Just about that time, Hank, the repairman for the Xerox, walks in to repair the machine. Sarah immediately questions Hank's skill set by implying that if he properly fixed the machine last time, they wouldn't have to keep calling. Upon walking in his office, Samuel starts yelling at his assistant, about a reporting aid. Now, Alice, that assistant, calls the manager who didn't turn in the report on time, and in a very forceful manner, Alice tells Jack, the manager, to get that report over to her immediately. Jack is very upset because of the way she spoke to him, but he complies. Then Jack chews out Shaniqua because she forgot to remind him the report was due. Jack is still mad when he walks into his house after work. Jack's wife, Nancy, asks him how his day went. Unfortunately, his unsuspecting cat, Fluffy, walks by the front door that very moment. So Jack kicks the cat, thinking, all you have to do is lay around all day, doing nothing. Now, the cat didn't do anything wrong, but he took the brunt of the bad day that was passed on from Samuel to Sarah to Hank to Alice to Jack to Shaniqua to Nancy and to finally Fluffy the cat. Wouldn't it have been better for everybody concerned if Samuel had just driven over to Jack's house and kicked the cat? Everyone would have had a much better day, except Fluffy the cat. See, sometimes when things don't go right, we end up blaming everybody else. We're looking for a scapegoat instead of a way to fix things. You need a purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart. You're not kicking the cat, no matter what.
That'd be very inhumane to the cat.
It would be.
In Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5, Matthew 7, 3 through 5 in the Message Bible, it provides us kind of a simple guide for eliminating negatives and establishing a righteous behavior. It says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling road show mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe the ugly sneer off your face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. An interesting observation in the Message Bible. It has a way of zinging you.
It really does.
Number 6, manipulation is more than a game. It's a sin.
Wow.
You know, many people incorrectly assume the Bible says that manipulation is a sin as witchcraft. While those words are not necessarily in the Bible in that way, the truth of the saying is found in Matthew 5, 33 through 37. Matthew 5, 33 through 37, this again in the Message Bible. And don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our traditions. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk saying, I'll pray for you, and never doing it. Or saying, God be with you, and not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace.
Wow.
In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. So how do you know if you're being manipulated? First, when you're with a friend or a person or acquaintance of some sort, do you end up doing what they want to do? Second, does the other person always disregard or make light of what you want to do? Third, when you disagree, does the other person always seem to win? If you've answered yes to those questions, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you whether or not you're being manipulated. The best advice we could give you on manipulation is probably found in Matthew 24:4. Matthew 24, verse 4, this in the English Standard Version. And Jesus answered them, see that no one lead you astray. You know, to stop being manipulated, we've got to stop making wrong choices based on information from bad associations. Eliminating the negativity of manipulation is something that is going to be our choice, being led by the Holy Spirit. One way, 1 Corinthians 15:33-34 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. Awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of Him. I say this to your shame."
Wow.
Interesting scripture.
You know, you made a statement earlier, honey. You said we must stop making wrong choices based on information from bad associations.
Mm.
And then you said eliminating the negativity of manipulation is our choice. And part of that is based on who we associate with.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Strong
thoughts. Influenced.
Amen. Number 7, avoid commiserators. If you spend your time talking with negative folks about negative events, no surprise, it's only reasonable that you're going to find yourself becoming more and more negative. The dominant thoughts in our lives will draw similar thoughts to us like a strong magnet. There are two kinds of people to avoid. People who talk about and share your weakness and people who criticize. If you dwell on past hurts, failures, broken relationships, financial mistakes, then you're doomed to repeat them. Isaiah 43:18 in the Message Bible. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over whole history. If you've messed up, if you've been negative, I read where some organization has what they call the HALT, H-A-L-T system. HALT. And it says that a person is most vulnerable to becoming upset when they're H, hungry, A, angry, L, lonely, T, tired. People who have a problem with alcohol are more likely to drink during these times, just as people who overeat are more likely to do so during those four times. And people who have addictions and to opiates or anything else, same thing is true. And yes, even people who are in difficult marriages are more likely to have an affair when these vulnerabilities occur. That's why it's important for every person to have a prayer partner, which should be your spouse if you're married, or perhaps your pastor or pastor's spouse, you know, if you're a lady. While others may criticize, complain, and commiserate, the one who will survive to success is the one who will overcome adversity by clinging to the Word of God and seeking godly counsel. Commiserating in your misery is not prayer. It's not giving things over to God. Don't commiserate about what happened. Instead, pray and plan for what's going to happen based on the Word of God.
In James 4:2 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderers. To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek, so you fight in war." This is the key phrase, honey. You do not have because you do not ask.
That's exactly right. Exactly.
We have not because we ask not of God.
These seven things are key.
Yes.
Really key. We encourage you to, you know, listen to the playback or wait a couple of days and you can listen to the podcast on the website. Critically important in helping you eliminate negatives from your life. By the way, be watching your inbox because we sent you, we're sending you an email today that got something powerful in it. Sent a letter out, but we wanted to make sure everybody saw it.
Because it's good.
It's rich. It's a direct word from the Lord. And we want you to check it out. Hallelujah. So be looking for an email from us. Go to heraldhearing.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. If you've been blessed with the teaching while you're there, at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.